This is the United States Dressage Federation's official podcast. Hello and welcome to the program. I'm Chris Stafford. On this week's episode, we're going to be hearing from Kat Chamberlain about the USDF-USEF Young Rider Graduate Program. And later on in our education segment, we have part two of excerpts taken from the 2016 Adequan USDF FEI Level Trainers Conference with Johan Hinneman. But first of all, the USDF would like to remind you that if you're looking for education, please be sure to check out the education calendar to find all approved USDF university accredited programs. You'll find a list of the education programs currently being offered in March, including an instructor trainer program workshop on lunging offered in Loxahatchee, Florida, March 6th through the 8th. The Adequan USDF FEI Level Trainers Conference with Stephen Clark, which is scheduled for March 14th to the 15th in El Sueno Equestrian Center in Somers, California. And on the weekend of March 19th, there are events scheduled, including a continuing education in freestyle judging program in Kennett Square, Pennsylvania, and a C session of the USDFL program is being offered in Green Cove Springs, Florida. And finally, a Platinum Performance USDF Junior Young Rider Clinic will be available on the weekend of March 26th in Auburn, Washington State. And you'll find a link to the complete list of USDF educational programs, which provides links to registration information in our show notes accompanying this episode. And additionally, educational opportunities may be offered through your local GMO, so make sure to check their calendars also. And as always, you can find books and educational items geared to dressage riders on our website on eTrack, the USDF's online learning center, and the USDF online store. That's all at usdf.org. And now in our first segment, we talked to Kat Chamberlain about the USDF-USEF Young Rider Graduate Program, which is a two-day seminar focusing on topics young adults need to know to prepare for a professional career in the equine industry. Held every 2 years, the program offers lectures from top professionals to foster strong role models for the future of the sport. And Kat joins us now to talk about the impact of this program. Kat, welcome back to the program.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, we're going to talk about something that's very dear to your heart, and you have a presidential role in the Young Rider program, don't you? So just explain to us what your position is and what does that mean, or what does it involve?
Yeah, so I'm the president of the Youth Program Advisory Subcommittee, and basically the subcommittee is a good way for youth members of USDF to kind of get an idea of how the political side of the sport works and what goes on behind the scenes of all of the shows and the different programs that are run. So it's a good way to kind of get your feet wet and that sort of thing. And then just to give back to the community, you know, take a little time out of your busy schedule as a student, as a rider, that sort of thing, and just, you know, see what you can do for your community and then see if it might be something that you'd be interested in doing down the line and having a bigger role on some of USDF committees in the future.
Well, just explain for those who are not familiar with your career so far, how old you are and that you have come up through that program, how it's impacted you.
Yeah, so I'm 21 this year. I just moved out of the Young Rider division into the Open division this year. I started being involved with the Young Rider programs through USDF in 2008 when I did one of their Junior Young Rider Clinic series with Kathy Connolly in Arizona. And then I started trying to qualify for the North American Junior and Young Rider Championships that year and really just love that whole program and how it really taught you about a qualification process and how that whole thing is run. And so I competed at my first North American Championships in 2009 as a junior, and I went again as a junior in 2010, and then I moved up to the Young Rider division in 2011. And the last 2 years, in 2014 and 2015, I also competed there. And like I said, I just love those programs. I think it's a great way to learn how to be on a team and how it feels to be under the pressure of trying to qualify for a championship and then competing under that pressure at the championship. And it's such a great program, but it's also, you know, a great learning process too. So whether you do well and you have success, that's always really fun. But even if it doesn't quite go the way that you wanted to, it's such a great learning experience. And you're going to meet people there and make connections that are going to last your whole lifetime. And I've also done some of the other programs available through SGS. I have gone to the end of the year conventions and gotten to see how the whole side of the sport looks from behind the scenes, you know, not just at the shows, but who is able to get those programs going and who's, you know, kind of the backbone of the sport. And so that's been really interesting for me. And then it's inspired me to give back to my community as well, seeing how hard those individuals work and all of the volunteer work that they do. And it's definitely been an inspiration and made me think about what I can do to give back to the sport, because I feel like I've been given so much and been helped so much.
Well, clearly it has been very good to you. And one of the other aspects of it, of course, is the 2-day seminars, the program that you attended again in Loxahatchee in Florida recently, down in Wellington, I should say, wasn't it? That the recent graduate program took place and a lot of guest speakers as well. So let's talk a little bit about that 2-day seminar, really, and the construction of it, really, and what you took away from it, because there were so many elements and there's so much information coming to you over that course of those 2 days, Kat. There's a lot of information to take on board. Just unpack that for us, if you would, and really, you know, what is the biggest benefits of that, and what listeners should know about that program and how young riders should get involved.
Yeah, what I really loved the most about the program was that it wasn't just for up-and-coming riders. I mean, for sure, that was a part of it, but it was also for, you know, any young rider graduate that was looking to be involved in the equestrian world, you know, whether that be tourism or the aspect of the sport or, you know, everything surrounding the actual riding and competing. So it was very open to any individual that just wants to have a future in the equestrian world in general. So it was a really busy 2 days. I, you know, definitely got to pack a very diverse group of speakers. You were one of them, and here how, you know, you came up and you wanted to start as a rider, and then obviously your circumstances changed, unfortunately, but then you're able to pave your own pathway in the sport and become really successful by finding a different avenue through the media and the public relations and all that sort of thing. I think that was a great way for us to get different stories and different perspectives from individuals about how you can make your own pathway in the sport, whether it be as a rider or a trainer, or maybe through a different avenue that you haven't even thought about yet. So it was great to meet the really diverse group of individuals, not only that were presenting, but the other girls that came to hear all the presenters speak and to get all of the information about, you know, how to make a career out of, you know, being an equestrian. And there was one girl that was there who actually had a job with equine insurance. So that was her main job. She had a desk job, you know, and she was able to still work with the horses in that way. And then she just rode on the side. So there's so many different ways that you can still be involved with the equestrian community and, you know, find your own pathway that works for you. And the speakers were amazing. We had so many top people come to speak to us. We had Angel Ott come, and he talked about his whole experience about going to the Young Horse World Championships last year, and that was just super inspiring. And we had Catherine Bates and Chandler come, and she talked about how she was a groom for Robert Dover for a really long time and was really happy doing that. And then through her hard work and dedication there, she got the opportunity to become a rider, and she got sponsors of her own, and now she is one of our top riders in the U.S. So it was just really amazing, and I think that all of us going home, you know, we had tons of notes that we were able to take and just were able to really sit down and think, okay, you know, how do I want to impact this sport and what can I do for the equestrian community and what's the best avenue of success that I can take?
And you mentioned that, you know, talking to some of the other girls that attended it, and interestingly, it was, I think, exclusively was women, wasn't it?
Yeah, I believe that we were all ladies there, so that was definitely interesting. But, you know, it was also, on the other aspect of it, a few of our presenters that came to us were males, you know, and I think that's a little bit typical right now, is that there's not a lot of young males that get into the sport of dressage, but then you look at the top ranks of the sport, and there are quite a few of them. So I think it's, you know, those guys can be an inspiration to some of the younger males out there to say, hey, this is a really great sport. And, you know, it doesn't have to be all ladies. And I think that, you know, it's interesting, and hopefully we can get more involvement from the younger male generation. And I think, like I said, a lot of those top guys out there should definitely be big inspiration for them.
Yes, that's an interesting point. But I think with it being all women group, maybe there are opportunities there for you know, for bonding, for sharing stories and experiences and learning from each other. Did you make any new fast friends that can help, or you can help them through having attended this graduate program? I mean, you know, how did that emerge? What were your takeaways from the women that you met and the experiences that you shared?
Yeah, I was actually really excited because there were only a few of them going in that I knew, at least by name. And I think there were at least around, I think between 40 and 50 of us. So, you know, I only knew a handful going in. So I did meet a ton of new people. And like I said before, it was just so interesting to hear their stories and where they want to go within the sport. And it's all about making connections, you know, so it was really good for all of us because we met people that we wouldn't have the opportunity to meet otherwise. And so now I know people, you know, back on the East Coast that I didn't know before, in the Midwest and Northeast, and kind of just all over the country now, that you have these connections to reach out to as we're all starting to build our own businesses and to make our own ways in the sport. Now you have these different communications that you can reach out to friends that you've made. And I think that's such a big part of it, you know, because I think just in life in general, it's all about being able to make important connections with people. And, you know, none of us can do it alone. We all need help. We all need to have those friends to be able to reach out to. So I got the sense, too, that the other girls really appreciated that. And I'm really excited to kind of cultivate those friendships in the years to come and to see how we can all help each other.
Yeah, and that's an interesting part of that, isn't it? What you take away in terms of networking as well between, you know, the other attendees. And going forward then with your role as president of that committee, Kat, what would you like to see evolve now? And having taken, you know, the good points, what you've learned from that two-day seminar, how is that going to then come back around to what you're doing and how you're going to move this forward? So there are new elements introduced and existing ones expanded upon. What's your thought process going forward?
I really hope that we can just build some more involvement in the younger generation. I think a lot of the times us younger kids are afraid to reach out and afraid to put ourselves out there because, you know, sometimes you feel like, oh, I don't know anything, I don't have any good points to bring up, or I don't have any good ideas to bring to the table. But that's not the case. You know, we sometimes have just different perspectives on things, and to make sure that the younger generation doesn't feel afraid to, you know, speak up and to have a pivotal role in the, you know, how the sport is going to move forward, because, you know, we are the next generation coming up, and I think it's important to be able to get involved at a young age. So I really hope that I can start to see more involvement from that younger generation and, you know, those on the committee too, not being afraid to tell us their ideas and to really, you know, move forward with what they believe. And then if we can all put our minds together, I think that we can really come up with some great ideas and how to get things moving forward. And we owe, you know, so much to all of the founders that have kind of put these programs into place. And the way I see it, you know, they've given us these opportunities, they've put the programs in place, they've laid the groundwork, and now we owe them to, you know, keep backing it up with their own hard work. So it's up to us now to keep, you know, pushing for more and to keep, you know, moving forward towards the future. And I think it's a good way to thank those that have laid all this groundwork for us, you know, and to show that we're willing to put in the commitment and to put in the hard work to back up what they've already done for us.
All right. Well, what would be your final message then, Kat, to young listeners who have not been involved with this program before? What would you like them to take from this conversation?
You know, I think for sure, just don't be afraid to put yourself out there and to seek opportunities. And I always say, you know, it's like, a lot of success comes down to luck, but the harder you work, the luckier you get. So, you know, don't be afraid to really go out there and try to find opportunities and to take advantage of these programs. You know, that's the biggest thing, is these amazing people are creating these programs for us. And sometimes not a lot of participation happens. And I don't know if it's just because people, don't feel like they're good enough to do it, or they're a little bit afraid to take that step forward, but, really take advantage of these amazing programs that are being created for us and, show your appreciation. And even if you don't think it's something that you might get or something that you might be good enough for, that's not true. They're always willing, to help anyone out. It doesn't matter what level you've ridden. It doesn't matter if you're still riding training level and trying to figure things out. There's always different programs out there for you, and they've done such a great job at USDF trying to create a pipeline for every individual, not just the high performance kids, but they're really focusing now on the grassroots level and how to get those kids and build them up, to be better riders and to be better trainers and just to be better, horse people in general, whether they do go on to become a high performance rider or they, go on to be involved in the sport in some other aspect, whether it's, they want to breed horses or just have their own farm or be involved in equine insurance. And, there's so many different avenues in the sport. So, yeah, just, really be a go-getter, find the programs that are available, put yourself out there, and just enjoy it all, because it's such an exciting time right now. And I'm so grateful for all of the opportunities that I've been given and just that this generation has been given. So it's, I think, just a super exciting time, and I'm really looking forward to seeing how these next few years develop.
Wonderful. Well, we certainly appreciate your leadership in the Young Rider Junior Young Rider program. Kat, thank you very much indeed for coming on the program and sharing your experiences with us.
Thank you so much.
And you'll find more information about the USDF USEF Young Rider Graduate Program on the youth section of the USDF website. And the program will return in 2018. And now we have part two of the excerpts taken from the 2016 Adequan USDF FEI Level Trainers Conference that was held in Loxahatchee, Florida, with Johan Hinneman.
When I teach at home or in a clinic, my first thinking is, when I teach people or I do my half pass, I make sure that I think where I want to end up in my half pass. It sounds silly, but it's easy to, not easy to explain, but I would like to explain it to you. When we learn, when we teach a horse half pass, we start normally with hunches in, alongside. We have to start thinking about what we are doing, about how the exercise is, and that's the bend through the body, like you said. But the right bend you only get when you practice it and bring all these things together, which is asked in a half pass, especially asked in a half pass. I mean, how the rule book or how that exercise is described. The first thing is that the horse is on two track. The second thing is means we have to have the bend. The second thing, which is written down in that description of that exercise, is that the horse has to look into the direction where it's going. So that sentence, the horse has to look into the direction where it's going. So if we put then this line here onto the diagonal, then the horse has to look into that end of the line, where the line ends. It has to look there. That means when we think about the different levels, there is a half pass from M to K. It has to look to K. That is the easiest angle. Then the next part is from M to V. That's the more difficult angle. And in Grand Prix, we ask it from M to E, means before E. So that's a different degree of bend, a different degree of opening the jaw. And this is why I say, you see, you have to make sure that when you go into that half pass, that the horse looks exactly the whole time into that point where you want to end up. Then there is never a question about how much flexion or how much bend. Then you really correct it, because you see, you go straight into that letter, and with your seat, with the seat bones and with your active legs, you just bend the horse behind you and nothing changes in front. You understand what I mean? So what you do now, your exercise is, you come into the, you prepare the short side, then you come out of the corner from H to F. First straight, absolutely straight. Make sure that your trot is the position of the neck is right. Make sure that the horse has the right correct and the correct collected rhythm. And then you concentrate that the front horse is really going to F, and then you just bend the horse behind you. And you see, what I'm trying to explain is you really have to know and to be able to explain that it is first the horse has to look into that letter where you want to end up. Then you have that result. We always talk, it's a forward sideway movement. Means, you see, we have an active outside leg, but we have also an active inside leg keeping the bend and the forward movement. And everybody can see that she really concentrates now to sit on the inside seat more, which is really necessary. And when you all think about how we do the practice sometimes or do the half pass, you see 85% of the people really collapse in your hips. What we talked about, the one tempis and the leaning to the left. It's the same thing. Now she has the weight on her inside seat bone. So now we just shorten that line and go to the second letter. But before you do that, you renew your trot work, your trot, or the circle, long side, develop a little bit, develop impulsion. So this is really what you have to keep in mind all the time, that when you did three or four times that shoulder in and half pass to renew our trot, developing some impulsion. These two track movements, yeah, it's a really high degree of balance which we have to have, and that is only possible if the impulsion in the body of the horse continues. And our job is to develop always exercises to make things better, and you cannot do everything at the same time. I mean, that's really our job as trainers, to always to think about something every day, how to make some things better. This is to develop ideas means training. To develop ideas means really school the horses and teach our students that we can only get things better with logical exercises which will bring us into a situation to renew the basic gaits, the basic suppleness, the basic submission. Everybody knows that that word submission is now taken out of our rule books. We don't have that word in our rule books anymore, and I think it will get out of the tests. It's now willing to cooperate. You see, my idea with all the other things is to get the horse a little bit more flexible day by day around your leg. He has to bend more in his body. And this is really one exercise you have to do every single day and get more and more bend, and to get his inside hind leg really carry more weight. And carry more weight with the inside hind leg high means activity, not slow. You have to be able to do both, shoulder in and hunches in. But I said at the beginning that, you see, a supple horse is not necessarily submissive. But a submissive horse is for sure supple. Then this kind of exercises, you really work on it, because you see, suppleness is not only that they go long and low and have the eyes half shut, it's that the whole body works together and swings, and they can use every single joint and all the muscles they have. And with this kind of exercises, you see, you get the flexibility. You do not have to think all the time about, you see, supple, 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 and loose. It's the flexibility is necessary for the correct and good suppleness.
And finally, a reminder that there is still time to register for the 2016 Adequan USDF FEI Level Trainers Conference West with Stephen Clark. To preview Stephen's teaching style, please visit eTrack online at usdf.org, and there you can find clips of the 2015 Trainers Conference and other USDF programs. Well, that about wraps it up for this week. Don't forget that if you have any topics you'd like to hear more about, you can drop us a line to podcasts@usdf.org. Until next week, thank you for listening wherever you are in the world. And remember, the USDF is your connection to the American dressage community.